It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, entertainment review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
Oh, we're so into the weekend and so looking forward to all the things that are happening. Live music is kind of starting up and really starting up in some areas of the country. We have sports that's happening for a select few. And we're going to get you plugged into the movies with Adam Holt.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holt.
He's wearing a jacket, so he really looks like a boss today. So as I'm playing the groovy music, he's standing there all stoic. I'm like rocking, and he's Mr. Yeah, I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Hey, boss man, how's it going?
You know, it's finally going okay. Here's the other part of the story on the coat, which I did not tell you earlier when we talked before the show. I had my second COVID shot last week, and it was like a nuclear bomb. It absolutely wrecked me. I had 102 fever for a couple of days and I have been cold all week. So, and it's back to Sprinter here in Colorado. If you're not familiar with Sprinter, I'm not saying it's part spring, part winter. And it's just been really chilly here. So
It does beg that question, you know, if you get your shot, good for you. But for those of us who may not be getting shot, we look and say, okay, COVID, kind of like having a cold for, you know, and it wasn't, and some of us didn't even know we had it. Right. And then we have this great immunity, which is actually better than getting the shot. But if you get the shot, oh, blood clots, a nuclear bomb, you know, I feel partial paralysis. And you're like,
ooh. Yeah. And let me also say, I'm not offering advice. I'm not speaking for Focus on the Family, which I don't think we organizationally have a pro or con stance here. Everybody has to do their own homework and decide what
that's what it is. I agree with that.
So I am absolutely not an advocate one way or the other. But boy, howdy, I was really sick.
Thank you for saying that, because I oftentimes when we're not talking entertainment, Adam, I will talk about some of the issues with the vaccine, not because I'm anti-vaccine, but because I'm pro getting information out so people can make those personal choices. And unfortunately, it's not happening. So,
yeah, well, and it's this is a huge tangent, but I'm going to make a plugged in segue. We're living in a time right now where there is so much information available, right? I mean, and we have to make decisions. All of us, we have to decide who is a credible voice to help me think through complex issues. And it's important for all of us to think critically about the various voices in our lives, and maybe they're online voices, maybe they're awesome podcast voices like yours and mine, maybe they're friends, maybe they're relatives. And I have one close relative who, you know, he is very much in the anti-vaxxer sort of place. And my brother's a pediatrician, and I talked to him. I'm like, hey, Dave, tell me what you think about the vaccine from a doctor's perspective. And gathering, you know, that's one issue. But at Plugged In, we hope to be a voice that really gives you the information you need to make the best decisions you
plugged
can.
Plugged In contact. There you go.
With regard right to, there. You know, with regard to entertainment. So I'm not a vaccine expert. I just had a bad experience, and hopefully that's the end of that story, because I don't want that story again. But we are experts, dare I say, in the area of entertainment, and we want to help you know what's going on so that you're informed. And even more than being informed, we hope that Plugged In can be a resource that helps you to grow in a biblical worldview, an understanding that our entertainment choices really are an area of discipleship in our lives that we need to take seriously, because the people making this stuff take these ideas seriously, and you can bet that they have a worldview that they want you to adopt. And sometimes that's a good one. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's really gray. It's right in the middle, you know?
And sometimes you can utilize it. And that's why we're not here to say you should get vaccinated. You shouldn't. You should right. vote for so-and-so. You shouldn't. You should watch exactly. this. Sometimes we'll say you should watch this movie because it's so darn right. good. But right. when we say, here are some things that you need to know, that's what this is all about, giving you the power.
Exactly.
So you don't waste those hours. How many of us have said, I will never get those 2 hours back? It's true.
Right.
So looking at what is coming up and what is out there, let's take it on, Adam.
Yeah. That is in some theaters. It's actually Fathom Events release, and Fathom is a distribution company that typically does really engagement. Sometimes it's a one-night screening. This one is a movie called Walking with Herb, and it is showing Friday, Saturday, and Monday night, so April 30th through May 1st. And Walking with Herb is, this is a little bit of an odd kettle of fish. If you go to our webpage and scroll down, currently our in theaters section is sort of halfway down the page because there haven't been that many things in theaters. So at some point we'll move it back up. But you'll see a picture of George Lopez with an old school football helmet and a sort of rainbowish thing on his lapel and a leather jacket. And you're like, huh, that's an interesting looking character. That is Herb. And let me tell you about Herb and the movie he's in. So this is a movie about, well, it stars Edward James Olmos, who so those of us of a certain tender age will remember as Crockett and Tubbs' boss in Miami Vice in about 1988.
Okay, okay.
That's like the last thing I actually remember Edward James Olmos being. He is a banker on the verge of retirement. His daughter has lost her husband in battle somewhere. He was in the armed services and has just lost her baby daughter too. And Graham is angry. He is bitter. He doesn't trust God. And that's like a really serious setup for a movie that goes in a pretty musical direction from there on out. He gets a message from God in flaming letters on his computer, basically saying, I have a mission for you. And he doesn't really believe in God at this point. He's like, yeah, whatever. Somebody's totally pranking me. And God says, no, look at your window. And there's a dove there that winks at him. And the dove has a scroll around its neck with the next message from God. And then a dachshund shows up. I almost said throws up, but shows up. And the dachshund has another scroll around its neck with a message from God. And finally, Herb shows up. And Herb is basically an angel. And this guy, his name is Joe. Joe's mission is to win the biggest golf tournament in the world against all of the biggest golf pros in the world for some unspecified purpose that God will accomplish through his life. And Joe has ups and downs. Turns out with God and Herb's help, Joe's a pretty mean golf player. And ultimately really nice and redemptive things happen. So this is sort of drama, sort of mostly comedy. And the message I love here is that Joe really does have to face the fact that God is bigger than his tragedy and that there's hope even when there's disappointment. Love that. What's a little bit muddy here is like that dachshund, who turns out the dachshund is owned by Herb the Angel. He has like one of those coexist bumper stickers, only not as a bumper sticker, but as a collar that has all sorts of religious symbols on it.
Yeah, okay.
There are shout outs to Buddha, which not a big deal, but there are actually more shout outs to Buddha here than there are to Jesus, which I felt like was odd for a Christian movie. And so it sort of feels
so is it a Christian movie or is it just a God movie? What's the deal? Which, you know, I kind of just like to know.
Yeah, it's kind
I'm
of.
I'm sorry, both. Allergies. Oh my gosh, it's that time of the year.
I know.
All right, second
Don't
up.
Get a shot, it'll be worse. I'll stop now. I'm not bitter. There are a whole bunch of quotations from scripture, but they're just sort of general life lesson-y kind of things, not things that really point to Jesus per se.
Okay.
And so, a movie that asks us to trust God through hard things. And it quotes some Bible stuff, but there's not really a huge focus on Jesus. So it sort of feels like a Christian movie that's not quite a Christian movie, which was a little bit odd. It was just kind of, it's kind of weird. And the Buddha quotes, Buddha says some nice things. I have no problem with Buddha quotes. But I sort of got done and thought, this is a Christian movie that's intended for as wide an audience as possible. And so it doesn't really have a gospel message in it, really, other than in a general sense, we need to trust God with the hard things that happen in our lives.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Now I want to, I kind of almost want to go a little deeper there for folks who are really looking for the God story. You know, if you're looking for the God story, a deep, deep God story in movies, there's few and far between, it's true. If you're looking for entertainment that may be wholesome and that maybe you can pull some things out of for yourself to get you thinking or encourage and to teach your children, then you can open that a little bit. It does also oftentimes remind me of church. We have a lot of wonderful praise and worship songs that we can sing. And this is kind of funny. If you're not a church goer, sometimes some of these are referred to as Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Have you heard that phrase? Because you could just take Jesus' name out. And you could just put Fred or whatever.
Right.
It's just, but what really sticks, those are great. I'm not slamming them because I love those songs. They have meaning. But something that you want to infuse into your life once in a while is a deeper story. And those old hymns, it's amazing that the old hymns, almost all of them have that real true gospel message, the whole truth there. You sing it, you speak it, and it has some power to it. It is so powerful that people with Alzheimer's cannot remember their own children's names, but you walk into their room and you start singing the old Rugged Cross and they're all over it. They can play it on the piano. It's just there. And so that, to me, that's a life lesson. Sorry to go so deep with entertainment, but sometimes entertainment is just entertainment, and you can Paul AC it and you can bring it to a whole deeper level. And sometimes you can seek out those things that bring you to the deeper level.
Well, and this feels like one of those movies that could go either way. I mean, I think if there's the biggest value here might be as a springboard to the question, what do we do with pain? What do we do with tragedy? And I think I'm theologically safe to say George Lopez isn't going to show up on a motorcycle to help you navigate pain, right? Like, this is a fanciful sort of story. And I can appreciate the story for what they're trying to do. It's very lighthearted. It's fun. They poke some gentle fun at things from time to time. But in real life, when you're dealing with tragedy, a lot of times all you have are those unanswered questions. And I think one of the things we see here is that God uses people in this movie. And I think God uses people in our lives to help us get perspective when it feels like we can't get perspective at all. And so I would say, if I have counsel for anybody going through hard stuff right now, and I'm not a counselor, it would be, who has God brought into your life who is that voice of wisdom, voice of perspective, who provides that steadying point of view? And sometimes entertainment can be that. Sometimes entertainment is just a catalyst to help us think about that more. And sometimes, as you said, it is just entertainment. It's good for a laugh.
And sometimes it's indoctrinating, right. It's weird. We were talking about, was it Mitchells versus the Machines? Was that the movie that, this is a kids type movie. It's animated.
Right. This is the other big release.
Yeah, and sometimes in some movies, I'm not talking about most animated movies, but in movies, they have to throw gratuitous something in there. Why? Because they want to be cool. They want to be fitting with the times. They want to, I don't know why, but there's an element to this otherwise pretty cool film that is misplaced, almost like propaganda in your face kind of a thing that just is, yeah. is and we're going to get to that, but let's yeah. talk about the Mitchells versus the Machines and what that is and what yeah. that problem is.
Yeah. So this is a movie that is streaming on Netflix. It started this weekend. In some ways, it's the most plugged in movie we've seen in a long time. And in some ways, I absolutely love this movie, actually most of them. So it's an animated movie about a sort of technological apocalypse. There's this family, the Mitchells, and they're kind of an old school, not very techie family. So they don't walk around with phones plastered in front of their faces constantly. And they are taking their daughter, Katie, to California. They were going to fly. They're like, you know what? We're not going to fly. We're going to take a road trip as a family. While they're on the road trip, this tech mogul in Silicon Valley accidentally unleashes a robot apocalypse that has two factors to it, or two elements to it. One, the Wi-Fi everywhere is turned off. And it turns out in this movie, the Mitchells are the only ones who aren't addicted to their phones. And so everybody kind of turns into zombies because they're in withdrawal from their cell phones. Okay.
Oh, that's funny. Makes them
susceptible to the very smart robots who want to take over their lives. So this is totally really almost like a fable of what happens when we get too addicted to technology. And the Mitchells are the last hope for humanity to free humanity from their tech addiction. And so it's sort of like if you took Phineas and Ferb and a kinder, gentler Terminator and a zombie movie and mushed them together for kids, Mitchells versus the Machines.
Okay.
So it's pretty great. It's got a very strong cautionary message about, are we letting our technology turn us into zombies and robots? And we need you to think about that. Love it. There's a post-credit scene in which we find out that Katie is in a same-sex romance with another girl. And that's the part you're talking about, you made allusion to, is it's almost like, oh, we forgot to throw this message in. Let's tack it on to the end. Now, if there's good news here, it's that a lot of families will have shut the movie off and they won't have to necessarily make the decision of what to do with that. But if you happen to be like us and we get to talking and, oh, look, the movie's still going, it will force you potentially, if you have young children, to answer that question. Mommy, what does it mean that she has a girlfriend? And maybe you're ready to answer that question, maybe you're not, but it's an odd sort of epilogue to a movie that doesn't have anything to do with that. It's like, can we just let the great movie you made be the great movie you made and not have a totally different message tacked onto the end of it?
Yeah, I agree. It's put in for political correctness to get the woohoo of a sect of society. Does it have place? I've always had problems with over sexualizing things for kids anyway.
Exactly. You know,
why do we have to worry about boyfriends, girlfriends, same sex, different sex, how hot you are, you know, when you're 10? Why do we have to really worry about that? Now, having said that, I want to segue to Mighty Ducks, which I have loved that series. So in dealing with same-sex issues are an issue of our time. Yeah. It is something that is very real. It's something that our kids encounter. So utilizing something to be able to talk about that with kids who may go, what, is really good. And I have to give Disney kudos because every time there's even a hint along those lines, it's tasteful, or it could be taken a couple of different ways. Usually sails right over kids' heads, or with the case of Mighty Ducks, it's very benign. It's not preachy. It's just, kids, this last week, kids had a sleepover. There are two moms. they don't go into why, they don't, you know, show anything that, you know, that kids don't need to really get into. I wanted to bring that up because mm-hmm. I think Disney does it okay. And I know there's some parents that say, I don't want any of that. Okay. Right. But it may be a reality. How do we relate to the world? How can we love people?
Well, and let me take my second giant tangent of the day. Our culture talks and thinks and focuses on sexuality a great deal.
Okay, it is fair enough.
Part and parcel of our entertainment world. And I will, if you'll let me take just a tiny tangent, you know, back in the late 60s, when our current cultural revolution really began to gain steam, the mainstream culture largely began to throw out God. And we're really wired for a transcendent experience. And I think when we, we need that. We need to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. God has designed us that way with that inner desire and hunger for Him. And when we throw that out, we're going to look for that experience somewhere else. And I think in our culture, sexuality is a place that has become a substitute. People may not think they're worshiping sex or think of sex as a God thing, but it's a desire, again, for something bigger and more transcendent than ourselves. And I think
we're designed to adore. Yeah, we were designed to adore God. And in that, a relationship between a man and woman and a marriage relationship is a likeness of that. The Bible talks about that. So having that adoration, having that praise, that's wonderful, but it does not replace that, that God hold that we have in us.
Well, and I think that sometimes people can think of Christians as just prudes who hate sex or don't want to talk about it. Not at all.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes, yeah. But I think that scripture shows us that God designed our sexuality very intentionally as an expression of Him. You know, He said that we're made in God's image and that when a man and a woman come together, it brings new life. So there is something deeply spiritual about it, but it's not, it's reflective of God. It's not a replacement for God.
I mean, there's a whole book in the Bible about sensuality, sexuality, and intimacy. There's not a whole book in the Bible about farming. There's not a whole book of the Bible about knitting. There's, you know, or cooking, you know, so.
And so my point here is that as we begin to have these conversations with our children, if we're coming from a Christian perspective, we can talk about this. We can say, here's what God has designed. Here's why He has designed it. Here's how we see the world treating it differently than we believe. And here's how we think about those differences. And so I think as Christians who are talking about sexuality and entertainment and culture with our kids, we need to have an age-appropriate conversation, but we need to be willing to have, I think, a pretty sophisticated theological conversation about what God has intended with sex, because the culture is having that conversation. And it's not just premarital sex is wrong, don't do it, that's the end of the discussion. No, that's not even the beginning of the discussion. We are equipped as believers to have a really in-depth conversation about this, even though it may feel uncomfortable if we're talking about having it with our kids. But if we don't have it, I guarantee you the culture is having it and their voice is right there. And so I want to just strongly say, figure out how to talk about this. And it may be that you can use something in pop culture as a jumping off point to have that deeper conversation, but we don't have to be afraid of it. And we don't have to just say, oh, that's a bunch of garbage and shut the door and close the conversation off. But we need to be talking about it with our kids.
Yeah, well put, well put. So there you've been warned. And nice thing, when you go to pluggedin.com, you can get the long review. So those things don't surprise you, which is always nice. There are some other things I did want to ask you about. Do you know anything about New Gods, Nisa Reborn?
I will know something in just a second. We reviewed that a couple of weeks ago, so I just need a brief refresher in my little noggin, because sometimes, even though my noggin is quite big and I think it's sometimes like little bits of information escape. Yeah.
In the meantime, I will say that I did watch, no, it's leaving me, the moon story, the moon cake story.
Oh, yeah. Scanning to the moon? No. Over the moon?
Oh, come on. What is wrong with us? We're trying to do this without Google, aren't we?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, the problem is I'm 50 years old and the gray matter is more gray, perhaps, than I was.
I think it's over the moon, if I remember right.
It's over the moon. That's right.
Is it over the moon?
Yeah. And that is a fable about a young Chinese girl dealing with the loss of her mother, if memory serves. And she's sort of praying to this Chinese goddess of the moon and decides that she's going to go see this Chinese goddess of the moon. And her dad's sort of like, yeah, I don't believe in any of that. And she's like, Dad, you can't not believe. You have to believe. But you saw it, so say more about it.
Well, yeah, this movie was, I think it was really well done dealing with loss and finding life after loss. Yeah. And it has to do with fables of gods and goddesses. And while the dad is a little more scientific, the mom is like, no, these are real stories, and she makes them kind of come to life. The mom dies, the family mourns, and it's just her and her dad until another woman with her bratty little kid comes along, and she's saying, hey, you know, there's this story about the moon and a moon goddess whose true love she was separated from, and she took these magic pills or something, which all of a sudden sounds like something, another conversation with kids, doesn't
right?
it
right.
that gives her immortality, and yet he's dead,
and he was supposed to take the pills but couldn't,
and so there she's longing for that reunification. She's thinking, you know, Dad, this moon chick is waiting an eternity for her true love. How can you just replace Mom so easily? So it kind of gives her this adventure with her potential new brother and stepmother, coming into the background, but her and this little boy have a bit of an adventure, a coming together, and learn to kind of love again, or find something new, something different. The messages are beautiful in that way. It does deal with these fables. They don't necessarily, just for parents' sake, who's saying, I don't want my kids being preached to, you know, again.
It's more like Chinese mythology.
Mythological. It does not feel like they're trying to impose some kind of religion on you. I personally enjoy those because they're the Goldilocks and the Three Bears of another country. You know, we have our own fables and our own silly stories, as do other countries. And I love my children. I love me learning about those cultures. If you remember a movie, maybe 20 years ago by now, Spirited Away. And that was a Japanese tale of a girl going into the spirit realm. And it was a little bit odd in that, but learning about some of the fables of another country gives you insight into their culture. And it was fascinating. It's like visiting another planet. There's some things, sensitivities to things like that, if you got them. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed Over the Moon. I thought it was very precious.
And it's a really beautiful movie in terms of the animation. I mean, it's from an aesthetic standpoint, it's a delightful film.
Yeah. So it's on my, you might want to see this list. What about New Gods? I had mentioned and Neza Reborn.
I think it's Neza.
Neza.
Another movie that is a Chinese mythological spiritual kind of story. And it's about a young man who lives in China, and he's a motorcycle racer, and he wants to basically bring some justice to his town. And there's a group of basically a gang, if you will, or a crime lord who is stealing the water from the town. And so this young guy makes a deal with a fire demon who's evil, who inhabits him and possesses him. And the guy basically bends the fire demon's evil powers for the sake of making all things right again. And I'll just start here. Kids, don't try this at home. Like, if there's a problem, don't invite a fire demon into your soul to solve the problem.
No. There you go. See, lessons are learned in movies.
There's life lessons here. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen. But it's dealing with an expression of Chinese spirituality that is... This has much more of an anime kind of vibe to it. It's an action movie. This thing that ends up taking up residence in this guy. It's basically a superhero movie for all intents and purposes.
Okay.
I think it is worth saying, though, you know, scripture is clear that there is a supernatural reality. And I think movies that invite us to make light of that supernatural reality, that's a worldview that we need to kind of check at the door. You know, how does this influence the way I think about spiritual reality? And again, this is framed in Chinese mythology. I don't think it's going to cause anybody to stumble in that sense. But I think it's worth, you know, bringing that into the discussion of, well, what does Christianity say about the spiritual realm? Are there angels and demons? What are they doing? How do we think about them? The Bible has things to say about all of that. And here's a story that is sort of the same, but sort of different. And so as we're familiar with scripture, it enables us to think through a worldview from a different point of view, from a Christian point of view. And that's what I hope that we're equipping our children to be able to do on their own.
Well, something else I wanted to bring up is the movie that I've just gotten into. I haven't watched all of it, but it's Thunder Force, which I've enjoyed the connection, the humor, the story. It's really fun. I wanted to take on Thunder Force, which is it has Melissa McCarthy. It has Lydia Octavia.
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer. I was trying to read it off as Lydia. Octavia Spencer as Emily. Okay. Emily Stanton. Got it. Oh, okay. Got it. I never knew that lady's name, and she's a great actor. So my apologies. This is kind of a fun film. It has a fun element, a friend element. I did enjoy it. Let's take it on. Yeah, at least, you know, thus far. I haven't gotten to the end yet.
This is, you know, obviously we've had an enormous proliferation of superhero films that I think where this trend really started was with the first reboot of the Spider-Man movie in like 2000, 2001. So we've had 20 years of, I mean, you can't go 5 minutes, it feels like, without a new superhero movie. So now there are these movies that are showing up that kind of take the common superhero tropes and origin stories and kind of have fun with them, right? Or play with it or twist it. In this one, we have a world in which everybody with superpowers is basically a jerk, right? And so this woman comes up with a serum to inject herself to become a superhero to take on the supervillains, more like super not very nice people. And her best friend shows up halfway through her process, and they both end up with superpowers. And I think it's safe to say when we think of superheroes, we think of young, beautiful, svelte, supermodel kind of superheroes. Well, this is a couple of middle-aged women who don't necessarily completely fit that trope, but they squeeze them into spandex nonetheless and go off and do superhero-y kind of things. This is a PG-13 movie. It's got some, you know, there's some sexual innuendo and suggestiveness. There's some profanity. I don't think it's a deal killer for adults. I don't think kids are really going to want to watch this movie because it sort of is taking what does a midlife crisis look like if you happen to be a new superhero at the same time, right? And it kind of plays with that. So I think for the intended audience, which is probably not teenagers, you'll be able to work through all of that just fine. But for younger viewers, there is enough content here to get you a pretty solid PG-13 rating.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we were talking about movies trying to navigate the same sex issues. One thing that I think is really important is the understanding of real friendships. You know, you Absolutely. Can love someone, you can think that they're wonderful, attractive, fabulous, and you don't have to sleep with them.
Right. And I think that's one of the sad things about where our culture's at is that there's this assumption that, yeah, that you can't just have a friendship, a platonic friendship.
Oh, and a powerful, and a deep one. Beautiful friendship. You know, shout out to Rebecca, to Hagee, you know, some of my friends, to Julie, that I have had friends for, you know, decades upon decades that are spectacular. Sometimes we diminish those by saying that and we diminish it in movies, particularly for the younger generation who think, oh, I really care about this person. I must be in love, right. And not right. having an understanding of what love really is. So sometimes that's where these things come with a warning, because when Hollywood's trying to navigate that, they make light of something that really could, you know, stick to the beauty of a friendship. That's inspiring. It doesn't have to, and it doesn't in this movie, you know, just so you know, but it's talked about, and in a way it kind of diminishes the real preciousness of two very different people supporting each other and finding that they really do care deeply about each other. And that friendship, man, that's powerful. So there's my,
and they're pretty funny. They're a nice comedic duo. I mean, Melissa McCarthy is just, she's funny. And
she's funny.
Yeah. Spencer is not necessarily naturally somebody you would think of as a comedian, but
I'm never going to get her name wrong again. I was just trying to read it off and be slick. And so as you're watching, when you see me looking over here and I sound intelligent, I'm not. I'm actually reading something. There's the insight right there.
She's cheating.
Uh-huh.
For me, this is what it looks like for me. I'm trying to look at the camera, but I'm really looking at my screen.
You know how I know that? This, you know, we've been doing this long enough. You have this little thing you do with your nose. Yeah, you do that with your nose. Yeah.
Well, it's because my eyes are just, well, we'll stop there. We're not going to talk about
Yes, but I you know, it did take me by surprise. It was kind of a fun show. And something else that we've been talking about every week is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Not really sure these last episodes where they're going with, there's a character in there that's black that blames America for some of the ills. And I understand, you know, the government seems to have given him a bad rap. And I love that though. In the conversation and talking about the difference between the government and the country.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. My familiarity with it may not be as much as yours, which is my way of saying I'm not as far along in it.
Oh, okay. No spoilers.
No, but I know where it goes, and I'm familiar with the overall story arc. So I'm a lifelong Marvel Comics fan, so
we'll be a little geeky.
Go from here. Geeky. I'm pretty cool.
You are pretty cool. You know, being cool and geeky is now a thing.
To junior high, you're calling me geeky.
Geeky is cool now, Adam. Did you know that?
I
Yeah.
You know, I was just acting right there.
Anything coming up that we can look forward to?
Not for a couple of weeks. We are still
okay. I'm going to ask that question again, zone. And I'm going to hope that.
Hang on. And lo, these many years later, I'm still not ready for this question.
It's our tradition. It's okay.
It is our tradition. So there you go. Ask me again. I'm.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that it's going to be a real positive answer. And so, Adam, I wanted to get into what is coming up. Anything we can get excited about?
You know, we are almost there. We're getting so close, but it's still about a month out. So we've got Cruella coming out May 28th. So literally, that's like a month from yesterday.
And you haven't reviewed that yet, right?
No, we haven't. Okay. And this is all of the Emmas. It seems like we've got Emma Thompson and Emma Stone. Emma Stone playing Cruella de Vil. I mean, this almost looks like if they took 101 Dalmatians and dropped it into a blender with Batman, this is what you would get. So if you haven't seen the trailer, it looks grim and delightful all at the same time. Speaking of grim, only not delightful, we have a Quiet Place 2. And the first one, of course, was a huge and unexpected hit for Netflix. And this was, it's a movie basically about an alien invasion. And if you make a noise, the aliens come and eat you. So if that sounds like a good time to you, Emily Blunt is still trying to keep her family alive from the aliens that come and eat you when you make noise. Okay, the first one, I kind of love the first one. I don't know if you saw it. Holy cow, intense movie. But
it was intense and it was good, really well done. I have a hard time with my attention span having to watch a screen.
Those are the only things coming in the next month that the vast majority of people watching today will even have heard of. If you need a throwback, Fathom Events, which we talked about a bit ago, is re-screening the first Mission Impossible movie on May 16th.
Okay.
So, you know, if you've been thinking to yourself, it's been a really long time since I saw Tom Cruise hold his breath for 6 minutes or, you know, the other crazy stuff that he does. He does all of those stunts.
I know. It is crazy. He, you know, as a person, he wigs me out. But as an actor, he is first class. He is very good at his craft. I can't argue that.
The last one, he did a high altitude, low opening, a halo jump from 30,000 feet for this one scene. They did the jump 107 times.
Whew.
That is commitment to his craft.
Or craziness.
Or insanity. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Oh, and Loki.
Loki is coming. I would have to go further out of my release schedule.
I think it's June. I thought it was June.
That's right. And Black Widow is coming out in that time frame too.
Yeah. I marvel at Marvel, but I kind of like to have something other than superhero stuff, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at some point Top Gun 2 is coming, but I'm not sure they've even given another.
What? So it's an actual Top Gun 2 with Tom Cruise and.
Yeah, no, it's a sequel. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, there you go. Well, now you know what to do. And if you missed anything, really, go to PluggedIn.com. You can find movies, music, video games, YouTube channels, books, everything that is really connected with pop culture, especially regarding your kids. You can get an overview, spiritual content, sexual content, language, anything that you might be sensitive to or you might look forward to. I don't know, but it is there and they can navigate you through that. It's a great website and it's not quite as fun, definitely not as cool as Adam Holtz, but it tries. And I appreciate that. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. There's more entertainment. There's more news and views and health and sci-tech and so much more if you go to mymichellelive.com, support us, share us, like us, and get that God story out there. Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Michelle.
It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Let's get you.
You know what I'm doing here? I am. There we go. I'm looking for the right button. I found it.
More entertainment at mymichellelive.com.
That's a little weird thing.
There we go. That's a wrap.
Great. Well, I have a meeting that's